I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have the communist vegans at the BBC destroyed your faith in humanity? Are you worried that watching too much football has made you racist? Why not take your mind off of society's ills by getting some culture? The Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to bring you an audiobook of your choice for free. Sign up for a free 1 month trial with no obligation to continue and claim your audiobook now by visiting audible.co.uk/footballramble.
We didn't need him anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not Marcus Speller, but welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm Luke, and with me is Jim.
Hello.
And Pete Donaldson.
Yes, hello. Marcus is not here, so I'm eating a sweet potato. Hooray!
He hates that.
Marcus is on holiday in Vietnam.
Which sounds like a lie, but isn't.
No, it's actually true. And
he's allowed out the country, it seems.
Nothing more to say on that other than two words. Sex tourism.
He did, but where did you find that picture of him shooting that gun?
He just put it on Facebook.
Just distasteful.
Sinister way, he didn't actually show in the photo what the target of the gun was.
Yeah. Mm.
If anything, that just confirms that it's dark.
And also it makes it really easy for photoshopping. So yeah.
So look forward to that.
Yeah.
Twitter.
A man with a cigarette in his mouth and a blindfold on.
Yeah. Right, should we start with our opening question? This is what Marcus would have wanted.
That's what he would have done.
Today's opening question is, or this week's I should say, if you were Peter Odin Wingy and you turned up at QPR and were faced with that situation he was faced with.
What, Harry Redknapp's face?
Yeah. What would you have done, Jim?
What I would have done is, given the fact that the deal completely fell apart because Junior Hoylett was like, what, go to a team that are doing much better than this team? No way. Yeah. I'd have kidnapped Hoylett, driven him back up to the Hawthorns and just sort of beat him until he'd accepted the deal and then driven back and it would have been fine.
This is a good deal for you.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing?
I don't know what you think you're missing out on. In fact, I don't know what I'm doing here. No, actually, that's what I'd have done. I'd have never have done it in the first place.
Imagine selling Junior Hoylett. QPR have got 150 players. What do you want to do here? What are you looking for here? You're so far down the pecking order just because there's so many people. Good one. Peter.
I'd step out my car, probably be a Jag or something because I'm a footballer, and then I'd go, sat-nav. I went pop down the shops for milk and I've just somehow driven down here to QPR and get out of that way, really. Maybe kick the tyres of my car and go, oh, bloody thing.
My remark would be similar. I was going to say that what I would do is I would get out when I saw them and go, oh, yeah, just caught my coat in the door, so I put in. And if that didn't work, I'd probably just wet myself.
Yeah.
Because then that would be the story. The story would then, it's genius. Because
the story, as a good
PR
man would
exactly.
say. Just start bloody punching.
Because then the story is, Peter Odin Wingy wets pants, then punches journalist.
Yeah.
Not Peter Odin Wingy is locked out of QPR.
Alright, I just set upon my own car, like in Street Fighter 2, and just beat the shit out of it.
How long would it take? Time yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
See if you get a bonus point. Speaking of bonus points, should we all have a point? Because Marcus is
yeah, yeah.
Up your speller.
Yeah, yeah. It's democratic here.
Points communism.
Excellent. Right, so first game, Newcastle. I thought this is for you, Pete. First
Cheers,
game,
guy.
Newcastle 3, Chelsea 2. A last-minute winner from Moussa Sissoko, who's the most popular man in Newcastle, I would have thought,
yep.
After an encouraging debut at Villa when he set up, I think, the goal there. And he's got two against Chelsea.
Yeah. Mm. He's got legs in him, hasn't he?
He has.
He's got all sorts of legs.
Kind of pathetic, really.
At least two.
I think Newcastle getting in all these French players just to sort of sort out this. It's been done, Pete. That was our thing. Get your own thing.
Are you looking for a pardue apology after he piped up about Wenger that time?
And
he did, yeah. He sort of said that he was, I think it's disgraceful, you know, you shouldn't field so many foreign players.
Yeah,
indeed. What about,
were you predicting a Demba Ba goal, Pete? Surely you were.
Yeah, I was until he got his face knocked off. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
There's a smile that you're trying to suppress, but there it is.
That's for your blue gloves.
Oh, yeah. If it bled blue blood,
would that have made you feel worse again?
Yeah.
All Pete cared about was the fact that he wishes he had black and white gloves on still.
Yeah.
Because actually, Matthew Taylor, when he signed from Luton Town for Portsmouth, still used to wear Luton Town gloves when he played.
Oh, did he?
And in training, yeah.
That's very disrespectful.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. That's the kind of man he is.
He's not under the microscope that Denver Barr is.
No, absolutely not.
No, it was a good match. Really, really enjoyable match. Thought Juan Mata. Oh,
what a goal!
He's 16th of the season.
He's such a dude. I love that guy.
Yeah,
him and Eva Caniero just kind of have wiped out any problematic PR that Chelsea FC have ever done it for me.
Yeah,
I just love them both equally.
Newcastle now 6 points off relegation. I think they're probably going to be okay.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? But it was a very important match. They got Spurs at the weekend, I do believe. And
It's ensured that Rafa Benitez must, from now on, only ever be known as beleaguered boss.
But he was piping up about the saying that Denver's kick to the face was a penalty and a red card. I was like, I think that's strong on both counts, to be quite frank.
I don't think it was. Clearly, wasn't deliberate.
No. It was a swing off the leg. Maybe a penalty. I don't know.
Well, one team that wish they were 6 points off relegation is Aston Villa, who this is a typical of Aston Villa's season. Something that is actually on paper a really good point for them at Goodison Park. They still managed to make it feel like a loss by being 3-1 up.
Hapless Villa. Yeah. As they shall forever be known now.
A lovely stooping header from Benteke. What a footballer.
Benteke should move to one of the Merseyside clubs because he's just twice as good as he normally is when he's playing there, and he's still pretty damn good.
Yeah, oh, Fellaini dear. Sort of was. Fellaini does that thing every so often. I mean, he's a great player anyway, but he does that thing every so often where he just becomes unplayable. He did it at Old Trafford last season, didn't he? The 4-all game. He did it again against Villa. He's just so strong.
He pulls matches from the old strings, doesn't he? He just goes, all right, I'm having a bit of this.
I'm loving the Moyes three-piece. Which is a new thing he's doing. It's good. It's looking proper, almost like quite like Boardwalk Empire style classy. It's a good look for him.
I like it because I think he's now thought that that's the only reason he's not getting a big continental job.
I need to smart myself up. I need a tie pin.
He'll get like a Simon Cowell teeth job at some point as well, just to make him look a bit more employable. Sorry, Pete, were you going to?
Are Aston Villa going to find themselves in the championship next season?
Well, they're going about it the right way because towards the end of the game, even at 3-1, they looked really nervy. They started making really stupid mistakes. They were giving away a completely unnecessary amount of corners. Mm. You just think, they need a bit more fight about them.
When they're circling, they seem to bleed a lot more than anyone else. It's like, oh God, we've just remembered we've got a goal as well that people can score in.
Yeah. Oh God,
so. get back.
They just seem so fragile, don't they? I mean, it's one of those things where if the game does go their way, they seem to grow in confidence a little bit, but as soon as someone scores against them or has a chance against them or the sort of ebb and flow of the game goes that way, they seem to be so soft-centred, it's difficult for them to sort of do anything. And like I said at the top of this, they it's a good point. I mean, if you said to them a week ago you're going to go to Goodison Park, get a draw, you'd be happy with that. It's a little platform to build on, but the way it happened doesn't feel like a platform for them now.
It's going to fill them with a total lack of confidence in their own abilities to defend, which, you know, they could do with that as it is.
And the transfer dealings haven't been inspirational, to be honest. He looks like a good player that they've signed, but I mean,
we'll do a transfer round up in a minute, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, they signed Silla, sort of an experienced French midfield player, and another guy from Spurs, Dawkins, who to be honest, I mean, he's 25, he's just been on San Jose Earthquakes, he's not really ever, I don't think he's even played in the Premier League before. It's not an experienced signing. It's very confusing. I mean, Jim, I don't know about you for the same way, but it's very confusing to know what Villa are actually playing at.
They seem to be building like about three different squads in the hope that one of them will work, and then they'll sort of just integrate all three of them.
This is going to kick ass in League One. These youngsters, and then we can sell them off, then we can become a force financially again.
It's really I'm surprised Darren Bent didn't get a move. I suppose I'm not surprised that Villa didn't want to let him go, but he's surely the answer to a lot of clubs' problems. If you need goals, you know, in an effective, direct way, Bent's surely your man.
I mean, you think so. I mean, he's been out of favour, hasn't he? He's not played as much as he perhaps has done in the past. Benteke's been good.
I just always assume with Bent is that he's moved five times every season anyway, so he's probably not allowed another one.
So many transfers. Yeah, exactly. He can't actually have any sort of permanent abode because he's always on the move. Basically, what he's got is like a gypsy's caravan, and he just takes the down.
Very nice one. It's like a sort of very bling caravan.
Same as Peter Crouch. Yeah,
and he's got like a Zlatan Zeppelin. He just puts over the entire country.
Well, one place Peter Crouch didn't go
was QPR, who drew 0-0 home to Norwich and missed a penalty
room
kick
in the area. Exactly. Human being.
There's a housing crisis now because no one can get in there. It's a nightmare. But penalty missed by Tarat after goalkeeper Bunn brought down Mackie. A very strange challenge. Didn't sort of do one thing or the other.
Yeah, no, it was a bit weird. I do think it was a penalty, but it was a bad penalty from Tarat as well. Weren't the Norwich fans chanting Odin Wingy would have scored that?
They were. Yeah, they were. And to the tune, I mean, but that was completely undermined by the fact that it was again to the tune of Sloop John B. So I don't acknowledge it.
How would that go?
Odin Wingy, he would have scored that.
Oh right, okay, yeah. Right, okay.
But yeah. I'll tell you, a man who did to make his debut was Christopher Samba. I almost said Cherno Samba then.
Yeah, Cherno Samba would have been much better. Yeah. But it's a weird one for Samba. No, he's on $100,000 a week. That's brilliant. Obviously, he's going to jump at that chance. He said he missed his, like, England, and it was, you know, for his family and whatnot. And that's all reasonable enough. You know, if I was Christopher Samba, I'd definitely take $100,000 a week to play in the Premier League. But what are QPR playing at? If they go down, the wage bill they've got is just going to cripple them. How can they afford this?
I think the fact is that they were already spending over 100% of the turnover on wages before Redknapp took over. So, I mean, if you think how much they must be spending now. And people are getting the wrong end of the stick on. I mean, I've had a few people on Twitter saying, oh, yeah, but if they stay in the Premier League, it'll pay for itself. But they fail to realise that they may not stay in the Premier League. Yeah. It's like saying, yeah, it's a gamble, but if I win, no, I'll get loads of money. Yeah, but if you don't win, you'll lose loads of money. That's what a gamble is.
And a gamble should, you know, favour the one who's putting down the stake, and the stake is way bigger than...
£39 million over the course of his contract is going to cost QPR, if all goes well. I mean,
For Christopher Samba, for Christ's
28 as well.
Seems like a really, really big... You know, Redknapp can't do this again. He can't do this to another club.
Of course he can.
It is terrifyingly, terrifyingly reminiscent familiar, of another club. Yeah, I mean, I suppose just a bit of balance towards it. I mean, obviously they'll be able to sell Christopher Samba if they do get relegated, and there'll be a clause in his contract as much as the same as there is for like Remy.
You say that, sell him for glue.
But how many clubs are going to want to pay him those sort of wages?
I suppose. And also, how many clubs? Why don't clubs just go, all right, $2 million?
Exactly. Yeah,
you got to sell him. So $2 million.
Yeah,
you know, it's very, very dangerous.
Zamora came on for half an hour.
I forgot he was even there.
Well, he's very anonymous on the pitch at times as well.
Well, QPR signed Christopher Samba, Jermaine Jenas, Andros Townsend on loan, a fellow called Yun-Suk Yong, a South Korean player, and they apparently bid for Odin Wingy at some point. David Bentley and apparently even Scott Parker. And according to Daniel Taylor of The Guardian, QPR have made 31 signings in the last 18 months. And in three transfer windows, they now have signed 7 new strikers, 7 centre-halves, 4 goalkeepers, 8 midfielders, a winger, 2 left-backs, 2 right-backs, and a partridge in a pear tree.
So they've actually got 42 players on their books. That's including 10 on loan, but that's more than 25, as I understand it.
Literally,
it's been a while,
Richard,
since I've done a maths lesson.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it still works in the same way. They're just throwing everything at a wall, aren't they, and hoping that they stay in the Premier League. It's quite an abstract concept, but it's what they're doing.
Well, the comments that Redknapp made when he took over the job, saying that he was disappointed the chairman had his pants pulled down, and you can't pay wages like that when you've only got 18,000 coming through the door every week and all this stuff. He's basically completely ignored that.
Yeah.
And just done it.
He made loads of noise about how he didn't want to spend the chairman's money as well, but, you know. Hmm.
Well, if that's what he's doing when he doesn't want to spend it.
He wants to earn it.
What's he going to do when he does want to spend it?
He just needs to sit down with the chairman and sort of go, right, well, this is my best 11, and these are the positions I'd like to strengthen. But you can't buy two players for every position when you're in that position in the Premier League. It's too big a gamble.
Well, he said he did sit down with the chairman, and the chairman said, what sort of players are you looking at bringing in? And he said, like, oh, you know, in my wildest dreams, like, you know, Christopher Samba. And he was like, yeah, well, we'll try and get him. And Redknapp was acting like, it's like, whoa, I can't believe it. Oh, my Christmases have come at once, because he's not a wheeler dealer.
No.
So remember this, he's not a wheeler dealer, it's all innocent. These players have probably been foisted upon him by the club, if anything.
Well, if anything, we should feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with Loftus Road? They've got to have a move at some point. I know Chelsea are unable to find a new home and stuff, but if Chelsea managed to build on, I don't know, the Battersea site, could they take over Chelsea's ground or something?
Surely that's way out of. That's way, way in the future for QPR at the moment. They've got to secure their Premier League status
But the Premier League status doesn't seem to mean that much, because, you know, the bums on seats, it's only going to be 90,000.
No, but the reason they want the Premier League status is because of the massive increase in the TV money from next season. But Fernandes has made overtures that he might leave if they get relegated. So, I mean, God knows where that leaves them.
Mm. But even if they stay up, they can't keep spending like this, even with the increase in TV money. Mm.
I don't think the Redknapp conversation did go like that. I think it went like, the chairman said, what sort of players are you looking at? And Redknapp went, don't mind, really. Any's fine. Just get him in.
Just go to Football Manager, search by age. Wage. Age and wage. That's what I like. I like older players on big wages. Age and wage.
Just go to Football Manager and get on the search bar. Just type in Tal Ben-Haim. That sort of player.
That kind of quality.
I've forgotten about him.
I've got Pini Zarvi on speed dial if you want to buy my phone. No problem. But yeah, Jim, what about the Arsenal game? They sort of ground out a result against Stoke 1-0. I think Stoke might have had more possession in that game, which is a crazy thing.
That is strange. I didn't see the entire game, but it's a good result for Arsenal. It's one that's badly needed. Nacho Monreal, surprise signing. Nacho Monreal played well on his debut, seemed to link up well. And
he's not really, Nacho Gonzalez.
Really, really happy with that signing, to be honest. I didn't think we'd be getting anybody, and Andres Santos is basically just
fat.
He's too much of a maverick to be held down to any one sport, you know. He seems to be trying to play quite a few at once, and it's just confusing. So I don't think he'll be around for much longer, and Gibbs is just so injury prone. So you got to have two decent options in each position, so at least that gap has been plugged. But you know, it's good to get a win. It's a tenacious win, the sort of thing where we'd have panicked before and maybe conceded a late goal. Shawcross got shirty again. It was unusual, not that sort of player.
I don't think he's actually that good, Ryan Shawcross.
No,
you could make a YouTube clip of fouls that should have been red.
Yeah, and he also almost cleared Zlatan's amazing Swedish goal off a line for against England, of which he would have never have been forgiven.
Yeah,
that been his contribution to international football. I think we'd say that would be poor.
Well, thankfully he didn't do that because he's not that sort of player.
Exactly, he's not the sort of player who can clear a ball for line. Well, I wanted to ask you about the greatest fight in the history of the Premier League, when Mikel Arteta went through the back of Michael Owen, yeah, and a little rubbish swing at him.
Yeah, like,
didn't even have the decency to punch properly.
It was more like a punch it was more like a punch shaped like tap, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it wasn't
it was
a real
like a
punch. Pathetic.
The Match of the Day team glossed over it.
What I absolutely loved about it was
he'll be on the sofa next week. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, was Owen just sort of like vaguely squaring up to Arteta, and 20-year-old Jack Wilshere just storming in and pushing him away like a tiny lion.
He has to get involved, doesn't he, Jack Wilshere?
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah,
like a little Jack Russell more than a lion, actually. Begovic played out of his skin as well. It's worth mentioning. A lot of like talk of him maybe ending up in Manchester or either club.
Do you think Arsenal might go in for him?
I'd be happy to see him going for him. Although, I mean, you know, Wenger's shown a lot of faith in Chesney, but he doesn't have enough competition. So, you know, a situation even like they have at Man United, where it's two players vying for the position, wouldn't necessarily be that unhealthy there, because Chesney can sleepwalk through matches and it's fine because he's got no one pushing him. So
he's the little Cruyff turn as well.
Yeah, that was unusual.
Yeah,
it's not really a thing we want to see remain.
I was immediately reminded of the other week when he said, we get a lot of stick at the back for Arsenal just for doing our jobs, and maybe we go under the radar a bit. And I was thinking, is that your way of trying to get a bit more press? Doing the Cruyff turn in your own 6-yard box, you madman. Crazy stuff. Floodlights went out of Craven Cottage.
That's fun, wasn't it?
Anything to say about that? But we'll have a bit more on that later.
It was definitely electricity related.
Yeah, is that an expert's opinion?
Confirm that, yeah. Oh dear.
Good. Right, let's talk a bit more about Odin Wingie doing an Alan Partridge. I mean, how do you think, one thing I'm interested to know is how you think that came about? Because because Martin Keown piped up and said...
Martin Keown.
Well,
Martin McKeown.
lesser seen pundit sister piped up and said that, in quite a disparaging way, I thought, that he's obviously not had the best education or something, when, like, Odin Wingie speaks, like, four languages and is probably much more educated than Martin Keown. But surely Odin Wingie's not just going to drive down there for no reason.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he'd said that he thought the deal had been sanctioned, hadn't he? Because it was, you know, all to do with Hoylett and how much he knew about the Hoylett involvement. Like, we obviously don't know, but I don't think he's just gone down there on a whim. And he's very much been portrayed as if he has done that.
Brought his boots.
He's just rocked up. As if after that he thought, well, I might as well just nip down Chelsea, see if they're interested.
Yeah, you knock on the door.
Yeah.
You got an appointment? No, but is anyone around?
Well, Steve Clarke has said, you know, he's probably been very badly advised. And it's got to be that, hasn't it? He also said, which I thought was brilliant, if I was Peter, I'd be looking at getting a new agent. It's like, yeah, go on, yeah. Stick the boot in.
It's a bit late for that now. Yeah, he's already
tarmed. I don't really need him now.
No, exactly.
I just like the idea of him sort of like going down and like, it just sounds like Harry's got sort of like, yeah, I'll sort it out. The chairman, that's the chairman's thing. You know, just come down, bring your boots, bring your nice car, and you know, you can come and play for us.
Yeah, you'll sort it out. You'll score a penalty for us at the weekend. Well, from one very intelligent man to another, Big D-Beck.
Oh,
Big
God.
D-Beck.
He's starting to show his age now a bit, isn't he? It's a bit weird. I'm not sure.
I think he looks great. I think he looks well.
Oh no, of course he does. He looks great, but still, it's like you can see it's ages happening to him. All the creams and things that he used to have before stopped it for a long time, but the crow's feet are creeping in and stuff. I'm not meaning to disparage the great man.
He doesn't get older. His facial care routine just gets longer.
His hairline is exactly the same as it ever was. You know, none of your Rooney fill-ins and stuff. It's just, you know, it's as thick and as luxurious and it's just as spectacular as ever.
Do you think he's going to do a Clooney? Do you think he's going to look even better as he gets even older?
He'd be a silver fox, wouldn't he?
Would there be a tipping point? That? Yeah, I think he would. Yeah. But do you think there'll be a tipping point of his looks?
Well, I think his voice, like an old like Cockney man, sort of talking like this, hello there, like that, it would sound a little bit.
Sid James
tattoos as well.
Yeah, he needs to get a load of whiskey and a load of cigarettes.
I can see David Beckham being like a sort of shrunken Cockney granddad one day.
That'd be brilliant. He's given all his wages to charity as well, Jim.
Brilliant, yeah.
Lots of people are saying it's cynical. It's a PR move. But
it's great for, you know, even if it is a cynical PR move, it's still a brilliant thing for that charity. It's a strange one from PSG's point of view, though, because it's clearly a publicity thing as much as anything. I can't imagine Beckham's going to play that much. And you have to question, you know, their strategy on the pitch for this sort of move, but maybe at the same time they just don't care. I suppose they're trying to announce themselves as a sort of European powerhouse, aren't they? So having Dybala around is only ever going to aid that.
All I could think about was Beckham just whipping balls into Zlatan.
Mm.
Oh God. And also I can't
Zlatan just shrugging him in next. Yeah. It'd be amazing.
And Zlatan and David both standing over a free kick.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
He did say that Zlatan will probably continue to take the free kicks as well. How is that going to work?
Yeah, exactly.
How is Zlatan going to take that?
Pete, that is the best way to make this work, let's be honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, have you got anything else to say on the transfers, chaps? Anything else to stick out?
I was just obsessed at the weekend with Popov doing that spitting.
Something you don't
really see in the modern game. It's nice.
That's enough of it.
Are footballers' mouths getting drier?
Yeah.
That's the question.
We've got to do the standard football media thing of what's the worst thing you can do on a football pitch?
It's unhygienic. It's not safe.
I'd rather someone chop my family into little pieces than spit in my face.
Then spat slightly near me, not definitely even at me.
I love the way Popov, as well, afterwards, did another spit. To say, as they decided the ref, I do this all the time. No, you got it wrong.
Kyle Walker did as well. He spat as he walks off, as if to take the piss.
Was spitting.
No, Mark Clattenburg, we're always spitting over here. You got to get used to it.
One of my favourite things from that game actually was when Romelu Lukaku was praying before the game.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And the West
Somebody
Brom
spat on him. That's unnecessary.
The West Brom mascot, which I believe is a giant eagle, just walked past and patted him on the back.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, exactly. He ignored him.
Completely
disrespectful.
Oh dear.
Well, shall we go from the Premier League across and down a bit to the Championship?
Yep.
Fraser Campbell, we said he'd be a good signing for Cardiff.
Yeah,
scored his
away.
Debut.
Scored with his second touch.
Was it his second touch, was it? He'll be good in that league. They're 10 points clear, Cardiff, at the top.
Still 10 points clear, which is what we said last week, and they've not fucked it up yet.
But it's only February just.
Yeah.
So there's always time.
Indeed.
I feel bad for Cardiff fans because they've had their shirt changed colour, which I didn't want. They've been so close to promotion and never done it, and then Swansea just nip in there.
Yeah,
so I think they really do deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see Cardiff Swansea in the Premier League next season. Could you imagine how just electric that would be?
Be great. Be really good. That'll definitely be an early Saturday kick-off.
Speaking of Campbell's, DJ Campbell mugged off Steve Bruce massively, pretended he was going out for some dinner and then went up.
Oh, is that who that was?
Basically, DJ Campbell was on loan from QPR at Hull. God. Said sort of middle of training, I'm going for lunch with his agent, and apparently Steve Bruce, in the words of Steve Bruce, would have been nice for him to let us know because we were looking for him for 2 hours and then where he was in Blackburn trying to get a deal.
Oh my word.
That's worse than Odie Wingy.
Absolutely.
Because that's more sinister.
But he wasn't in training though. I heard he was in negotiations.
Oh, okay.
With
right.
Steve Bruce over a permanent deal, and they went, "Oh, just go Nando's," and then just left and signed for somebody else. Yeah. Oh, lovely old job.
Elsewhere, Ipswich have smashed Middlesbrough 4-0, who are painfully inconsistent at the moment, despite Tony Mowbray's saxophone skills. Pete,
You might have seen that on the footballramble.com. If you want, it's 9 hours of Tony Mowbray playing the saxophone for no reason.
Enjoy it over there
because that's what the internet's for. But Borough have lost their last 4 games in a row, now 6th.
Rubs.
And another little Championship story. Jordan Rhodes scored 2 as Blackburn beat Bristol City 2-0.
Yeah, they've spent a lot of money on Rhodes, but it's actually worked out pretty well, hasn't it, so far?
I've got nothing more to say on that game, apart from Danny Murphy played a full match.
Shall we move on?
So, Danny Murphy, everyone.
Danny Murphy.
Yeah. And League One, Portsmouth were beaten at home 3-2 by Colchester. That's 17 games without a win. The club record's 19, so fingers crossed. I've just put in the running order here that Portsmouth are the worst professional team in the country. I don't think there's anything more to add.
Is that an official stat at the moment, or are you
by me?
Yeah.
Do you see that Hartley and Poole scored for Hartlepool?
Oh, yeah. That's a laugh.
Well, it is. It's technically a laugh, Luke.
Yeah, technically a laugh.
Funnier than getting rinsed by Freddie Sears, isn't it?
Put some canned
Portsmouth.
Yeah, I didn't even know you were still playing. No. Freddie Sears. Put some canned laughter off under that Hartley pool.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because then people know when to laugh.
Hang on, Pete. Just put that back in there.
Okay, right.
And poor old Paul Dickoff, famous win over Liverpool in the Cup, he's gone.
He resigned though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, well, I think he was off the chop anyway. Yeah. That was one of those. I reckon that might have even been one of those. You can't fire me because I'll quit.
Well, you're only but I mean, but would he not have wanted a crack at the big one? Would he not have wanted
the big one?
The big one.
Yeah, maybe
the next round of the Cup. Let's say.
He obviously, in the words of Paolo Di Canio, found that his job was untenable. Shall we go overseas?
Shall we?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Sorry, that's what I meant.
It always seems much more exciting when Marcus sends us overseas.
Yeah, it does. It's almost like a very well travelled, richly voiced
slower.
Man.
Yeah, he does speak a lot slower than me. Big Mario.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Just absolutely rinsing Udinese on his debut. But the Sun reported that he'd taken about 15 minutes to get in trouble with his new bosses at Milan. And there's actually a video on the internet, which you may have heard of, where it's a report from the Sun. Just basically tries to speak to Mario. Mario says, your paper was never really very kind about me in England, so I'm not going to talk to you. So there's a bit of an embarrassed silence while it's all translated. And the report is just like about how terrible Balotelli was while he was here and how he was rotten and that he's already getting arguments and blah, 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 blah. You don't insult the Sun.
Keep it up the tradition of using words that only the Sun actually use. Like rotten. You're rotten.
I hope he has a really good season, or rest of season.
Well, he's started pretty well. He scored twice, didn't he? And he's involved in absolutely everything. So it's like he cares again. It was brilliant. He absolutely just put Udinese to the sword.
He wasn't even supposed to play, was he? It was only because
there was force his way on.
No, there was an injury in the warm-up. And so he had to start the game. And then obviously he scored and then got the penalty, which was never a pen. It's an absolute disgraceful decision. In the last minute,
it was an excellent tackle.
It was a really good tackle. Really was.
And his first goal, Luke, you were saying that people were criticising, saying it was just a tap-in. It wasn't a tap-in, it was a
brilliant finish. Yeah, I heard about it before I saw it, and I heard that people saying, oh yeah, no, it was just a tap-in, but it was a nice finish.
He had players around him. It's not like it was that straightforward.
But I think him, he can kind of be the focus of everyone's attention, and not necessarily have the most talented footballers around him, so to speak. He doesn't need to kind of work quite as hard possibly, and he can just kind of just enjoy his football a little bit. I hope he does.
We did wonder if Balotelli was the sort of character that Milan need with the troubles they've been having, but you know, they relied on Zlatan, who's a similarly sort of, you know, you're a difficult person to work with, and it's, you know, it could just work in exactly the same way.
Well, Milan are up to fourth now. I mean, they are 12 points off the top still, but I mean, they've moved up a couple of places.
Well, they're definitely clawing their dignity back, and they've got a good shot at getting into the Champions League, which looked just, you know, impossible even a couple of months ago.
Well, yeah, it's easy to remember. It's easy to forget. I mean, the opposite of what I just said. That they were real trouble. Now they're only 3 points off a Champions League spot, because obviously only the top three go through to the Champions League this season in Italy. But yeah, Juventus still top, Napoli second. In La Liga, Granada, I think, became the first team in the history of the league to win a game without having a shot on target.
Yeah, that was obviously because of Cristiano Ronaldo's hilarious own goal.
Was it actually hilarious? I've not seen it.
It was a very fine attacking header, just at the wrong end.
Was it a John Walters?
It wasn't as... Well, I think Walters would have been proud of it.
Yeah.
It was just strange to see such a, you know, show pony, like, show pony's the wrong word, but such a, you know, sort of, someone who takes himself so seriously, doing such a brilliantly terrible own goal.
That was his first ever own goal as well.
But the weird thing is Madrid were awful. You know, when you hear that, you know, Granada didn't have a shot on target, it makes it sound like Madrid battered them all game, but Madrid were just completely listless as well. It's like they've just, it's like they're just using the league as, like, training for the Champions League.
I do sort of get a real, sense of them knowing they can't win the league now, so they're just being really petulant about it.
Yeah, no, it really does feel like that. I mean, if they're not careful, they'll end up in the Europa League, you know, if you're going to take that attitude to things.
Yeah. Well, Atletico Madrid have won, I didn't know this actually, I suddenly saw this earlier, Atletico Madrid have won every game at home this season, 12 from 12. But Barcelona only drew as well against Valencia.
Still, they're gaining a point though, and they've got a point. They've got a game in hand over Madrid as well.
It's all done by the shout.
So Real have won less games in Madrid than Atletico Madrid have.
Correct, yeah, because Real Madrid have won 8 at home, and Atletico have won 12.
Hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity damn. What do you want to do? Do you want to do Bundesliga, or do you want to do African Cup of Nations? We can do what we want now because Marcus isn't here.
Should we do another sport?
Yeah, let's do. whatever sport
kayaking.
You like.
Let's do kayaking.
I don't know anything about kayaking apart from I saw a bit of
we don't know
Olympics.
Anything about football.
That's true, yeah. It's never stopped us. What was your favourite Olympic sport in the Olympics that you didn't know about before, that you hadn't really watched before? I really liked handball in the Olympics.
I liked football.
I like guns. The gun one.
That's a real proper ancient one, that, isn't it?
Yeah. That is actually its name. One. I don't know either. I don't know anything about shooting. Marcus is firing guns in Vietnam at the moment. He'll tell you.
Yeah. He'll come up with different stances and stuff.
He'll be back soon. He'll tell you all about
back
it.
Back from his one-man war.
African Cup of Nations.
Yes, let's do that. Yeah.
South Africa went out. The hosts, let's not forget, went out on penalties to Mali after drawing 1-1. That was a rubbish game in the second half. It's like they knew it was going to pens. They didn't even bother trying anymore.
They look really nervy. Apart from that, in that match, they look really nervy. They've only got themselves to blame.
Yeah, they struggled against Cape Verde, didn't they? I mean, Seydou Keita, who now plays in the Chinese Super League, I think, but not for a team I'd heard of.
As opposed to those famous teams.
Shanghai Shenhua. Yeah, what's the other one that Yakubu plays for? He's loving it. He's loving it over there. He's loving it. Yeah, Seydou Keita, ex-Barcelona, of course, and he equalised for Mali. It was almost like he said, oh, we can't have this. Yeah. I'm captain.
Come on.
I'm scoring a goal. And he did, and it was 1-0. But and Mali went through on pens. And
it's
Ghana,
nice to see. You know, we were like Mali. We remember their absolutely heroic comeback. It was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was 4-0 down, 4-all.
Yeah.
Delish.
That seems like a long time ago.
It does. It seems like longer than a year ago.
I'm pleased you've done the Delish in Marcus's absence. Does anyone want to do a Sven thing? Or
It'll come up naturally, or it won't, and it'll be better for it.
Are you not sad that the hosts are out, though?
Yeah, of course. I'm more sad that the Ivory Coast are out. They're just cursed, aren't they? They cannot win this competition.
That's Drogba's last chance, that. Oh. It's all gone.
Very sad.
Ghana are also through. They beat Cape Verde 2-0.
I want to see Ghana win it, and I'm not ashamed to say so. It's good to see Asamoah Gyan as well. Forgot about him for a bit.
Is it good to see him? He's a bit of a mercenary.
Yeah, but you know.
Mind you,
the maverick style that he rolls with.
We applauded Yakubu for being a mercenary last week.
Exactly,
year,
so let's be consistent.
Yeah, and the aforementioned Ivory Coast are out. They lost 2-1 to Nigeria. And Togo, good news for Spurs fans, now that Defoe's injured and they've got no strikers. Adebayor's winging his way back because Togo lost 1-0 to Burkina Faso. So the semi-finals will be Mali, Nigeria, and Burkina Faso versus Ghana. I think Ghana were my tip before. I did a little Betfair column on the African Cup of Nations 1 week, and I said that I thought Ghana might win it. So I'm pleased that they're through. They're about a 9-1 shot beforehand, I think. So that's it. That's it for the footballs in the world at the moment. Have you guys got anything else to add? Because this is where Marcus normally feels and stuff. Oh, Bundesliga. Do you want to do a bit of Bundesliga?
Let's go to Germany.
Yeah, Bundesliga. Pep Guardiola's going to Bayern Munich.
I think we've done that.
Oh, we've done that already.
Sure. Extensively. Okay, right, yeah. Talked about this.
They speak German.
They do speak German.
In the main.
And while speaking German, they I actually once saw Wolfsburg in the next gen playing against Spurs, and because it was a training ground, it was right next to the action, and it was really, for some reason, it was really entertaining hearing the German players. It's like shouts in German.
Yeah.
Like, Scheisse, like that. It's really good. But Bayern Munich won 3-0 at Mainz, thanks to Thomas Müller.
Mainz are a decent team as well.
Yeah.
They're very much in form.
And two from Mario Mandzukic, who's got quite a few. I think he's got 14 league goals this season now. Yeah, and a great game in Leverkusen, who lost 2-3 to Dortmund.
I was talking to some Spurs fans who came to my preview last week. Thank you very much for doing that and not rioting, as I assumed you would have done. And do you guys watch the Bundesliga highlights on ITV4?
Some cracking goals.
The actual highlights are amazing, because they've got this really German woman who speaks a very broken English, like just sort of doing the links. But she's not like outside a stadium or anything, or in a studio. She's just like in the park, just like down a market, just wherever they can film her. It's brilliant. I'm involved with it.
I really like it, because it's something that we've actually sort of tentatively cried out for, which is, don't worry about all the stupidness, just show the goals. You need to do a little link in between, fair enough, but that's all you need, and it really does work well.
It looks like this sort of kind of outside broadcast piece you'd see in like the One Show or something like that.
Yeah, it does look like that. It really does. And because the football's such good quality, it's almost like and obviously I don't want to be too cynical about it, but it's almost like the Premier League is all bluster, isn't it? It's all like glamour and Hollywood style stuff, and the Bundesliga just seems to be, it is the football, it's brilliant, just watch
it's efficient.
Yeah, it's great,
because you know, games here have trailers as if they're movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And we call them things like Super Sunday before they've even happened.
I wonder if this happens in Germany, because weirdly Germany have a similar sort of tabloid culture to us. Like Bild is basically their equivalent of the Sun, so I wonder if that also translates into their TV. Any Germans, do let us know.
Who knows?
I imagine it probably doesn't.
Sum up your whole country in one email.
The Bayern Munich are still absolutely flying. If you're not aware, they've only conceded one goal away from home this season.
I am terrified of them in the Champions League.
Yeah,
that is going to be a very, very difficult game.
I think
two difficult games.
I think you know you can't look past them really. So they're 12 points clear at the top. And that is that really is
all of football.
We've rattled through it because
didn't even go to South America. Nothing happened.
No, I didn't realise Marcus did anything. Turns out he does loads.
Well, the reason we're not going to South America is because there's an England friendly against Brazil, and that'll probably be next week's chat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cool. Right, would you like to see my game and enjoy it and endure it?
Oh, you get to introduce yourself this week, Pete.
Do I? Okay. Yeah. Well, this is a suggestion from, I've got enough, don't worry about emailing, Andy Milner. Thank you so much,
Andy Milner. Sounds like a made up footballer.
He's gone for Patrice. Every second counts.
That's all right. It's not bad.
It will literally do.
How many emails have you had suggesting family Quentin Fortunes now, Pete?
Family Quentin, the Sfeneration game, family Quentin Fortunes, very, very popular. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Parodies are very, very
like
big
who?
As well. Who Wants to Be a
Mignolet?
Yeah. Yeah, just...
Wasn't it Laurent Blanquety Blanc, another one you're getting?
That's the one, yeah. But it's one of those things where, like, so many people suggested it. If I choose one person, all the other people will be upset, so I don't really know what I do about that. I'll probably just leave the ramble, to be honest. So Andy Milner, thank you for Patrice, every second counts. That was the music, hope you enjoyed that. Got it off the YouTube, shut up. Right, I am Danish.
Stop.
That's a lovely noise.
John Jensen.
No, not John Jensen.
You're messing me with now, with me now, Donald.
I played for Liverpool and Southampton.
Okay, go on.
As a lawyer, I was the first in Scandinavia to specialise in business conflict mediation.
I love what you've
asked. Jan Mulby?
No, not Jan Mulby.
Is he even Danish? It's happening again. Yeah, it's genuinely happening again.
Jan Mulby is Danish. Good.
Very Danish. I was on the winning team in the 2004 International Negotiation Competition. Which sounds brilliant.
Brilliant. I have no idea.
No, I'm stumped.
I didn't play a single match for the first team at Liverpool and Southampton.
Brilliant. Cheers, Pete.
That's helpful.
Stop.
What? Martin Larsson.
No.
He didn't play a game for either of those clubs.
There you go. So
that's fair enough.
I thought that was nailed on.
I contracted a long-term shoulder injury due to closing up an ironing board.
Stop. Oh. Alan Partridge.
I was a goalkeeper.
Stop. Pitch Michael.
No.
Just got to say it. I'd feel wrong if I didn't say it.
For Liverpool and Southampton. Have a word.
Stop. Morten Gamst Pedersen.
In goal for Denmark.
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah, good. I was the replacement for Bruce Grobbelaar, if you want to sort of date it a little bit. No?
Stop. Anders Frenholm. I've just made up a man there, but you know. It's a better guess than I've got in my head.
Come back, Marcus. It's Michael Stensgaard.
Oh, man, I never would have got that.
I was thinking of Stecklenburg, knowing it was wrong, but obviously I was on the right track.
It's difficult,
so,
isn't it?
I never would have got that, as I just proved.
I got the points more than you did.
Yeah, fine. You needed more guesses, so fair enough, yeah.
Goodness.
Right. This is a bit like, I feel a bit like when you hang out with your mates and when your mum and dad aren't home. Does it feel a bit like that to you?
What do you mean?
Well, because Marcus isn't.
We can do anything, so we don't really know what to do.
Yeah, like,
you can get some booze. Is there any booze in your cabinet?
There is pornography on the television, so it is very similar.
I read a news story once about a bear who escaped from a zoo, and they looked for him for hours, and they couldn't find him, and they were terrified. And they got back to the zoo, and he's back in his cage. I feel a bit like we can do whatever we want, but we're just doing a ramble.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
when I used to work in a zoo for a little while, and when the tigers used to accidentally break out of their cages and stuff, they would occasionally somehow break out of their things during feeding time or whatever. They'd manage to jump over a wall or something.
Breakout makes it sound like they've planned it though.
Why are you saying this like it's normal that terrifying animals escape from zoos?
Well, I'm just saying that they're quite lethargic animals and they're quite easy to catch, but the chimpanzees in particular,
bollocks are
they would.
There's no way. I don't believe you could catch a tiger.
I'm not trained for that, Jim.
You're not trained for any of it.
No,
you shouldn't even be there.
I was there to make a CD-ROM. Remember then? And I didn't even manage that. Sorry, Twycross Zoo. Never happened. Anyway, the chimpanzees used to escape out their cages and just stand on top of their cages, sort of just dancing around, going, "Yeah, I've escaped, you dickhead." Yeah.
Hang on, this started as tigers and became chimpanzees.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, I'm just saying that the chimpanzees did a similar sort of thing. Right. Tigers are quite easy to catch. Chimpanzees
I'm not buying that. This isn't
even standard zoo practice, because I've been at a zoo when there's been feeding time. They move the tigers into another bit, lock them in. Someone goes in with the food, comes out again, and lets them out again. What are they saying, that they let the tigers out when they're feeding them?
All I'm saying is that a couple of tigers have escaped from zoos before, and they are usually quite easy to catch as it goes. Chimpanzees are a lot harder, but what the chimpanzees do, they stand on top of their cages, basically giving it the big one. I've never seen a chimpanzee. I hate it when people say, I hate it when people mix up monkeys and chimps, yep. And I hate it when people say that chimps and monkeys throw poo, because I've never seen them do it. I've seen them masturbate loads of times, but that's because I'm fucking sexy.
You know, the country in the world with the most tigers in it is actually America, because there's loads of mad people keep them as pets and then occasionally get eaten by them. Paris Good. Hilton's got two.
I think I heard that.
Fingers crossed, eh, guys.
Yeah. Should we do a correspondence question?
Yeah. Goodness me.
I wrote the correspondence question in mind of what happened at Craven Cottage, and it simply was, if you were a footballer playing in a stadium and all the lights went out, what would you do? Some interesting replies, as usual. Kevin Anderson says, probably get my cock out for a bit.
No
one can see it.
No time there. 10 seconds, 20 seconds, what's a bit?
Standard practice. I'm sure we all do that when the light goes out anywhere.
It's like a game of chicken, because you keep it out as long as you can before the lights come back on.
Yeah.
And only you know it's happened. And if the lights come out and catch you, you've lost.
Yeah. Yeah. A game with yourself. Yeah.
I just like to say
and your that punishment is obvious.
We don't endorse that though. Ben Carr says, I'll do the paint seal. I'd only be confident of doing it in the dark, so as to not embarrass myself.
So you'd knacker yourself out for the game, yeah. And no one would know why.
Ryan Street, who may or may not be banned from football games, I'm not sure, says, I'll have a piss in the opposition keeper's water bottle. That's just nasty.
You'd have to find it first, and he'd know you're doing it.
Yeah,
you'd your eyes would adjust, and the keeper would see you for that reason, so you know, you're risking a lot.
And the keeper would probably use that time to take a drink anyway, so it'd be very difficult. I think it's harder than you think that, Ryan.
Think it through, Ryan.
Yeah. Darren Thompson says,
and says, mister, it's easy to catch a tiger.
Yeah.
Catchy, catchy, tiger, tiger.
What would you do if all the lights went out in the zoo? You'd have some of those Jurassic Park night vision goggles. Darren Thompson says, I take it as a challenge to D-bag as many players as I could before they came back on.
D-bag?
Yeah. It's like me pulling their pants down. Like a pants.
You do that to me all the time.
I know.
Like a lot. Actually.
That's genuinely horrible. Horrifyingly true.
Michael Jongsmith says, I'd sneak Peter Olenwingi in.
Yeah. Okay.
Topical. Wouldn't work any other week, would it?
Smashing.
Yeah. Michael Dove says, I don't know, but I wish the Berbatov was fit. How much would you have loved seeing that cigarette light up on a dark pit? Mitch Ball, in the second most ambitious answer of the night, says, I'd get Senderos and Hangeland in arm locks and play their heads like bongos.
So quite tough main sentient, you know.
Yeah, exactly,
it's still, you know.
They don't go inanimate because the lights are gone. They look solar powered. Carl Lawson says, I'd get into my section of the fans in the crowd and allow the TV cameras, referees and fellow players to play a massive game of Where's Wally.
You can hear that anyway, to be fair.
Friend of the Ramble, Johnny Gabriel, says, I'd get Paul Jewell to drive his car down. He can flash the lights from the sidelines. Reference to his sex tape, always welcomed.
Yeah. It's Mark Collymore thing though, the dogging thing, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Well, but Jewell's more of a standard car sex tape.
Yeah.
Collymore's more dogging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Collymore's been a bit ranty recently. I don't know if you've read. He piped up a couple of times, didn't he?
Yeah. He's getting the worst thing he's done off people.
Last, by no means least. In fact, save the best for last. By the inappropriately named Alex Eggs.
Why Eggs? Inappropriate?
Well, I mean, is anyone actually called Alex Eggs?
Well, Alex Eggs is.
I don't think that's his real name.
Alex Party wasn't, but she got on all right.
I'm sticking it out there. He says, I dragged the Michael Jackson statue into the centre circle and get the DJ to play Thriller just as the floodlights came on again. That is excellent. If there were points for this section, Alex, and there aren't any, you'd definitely get them.
I'd shout, I am the second gear footballer. And then nobody would know it was me.
I think they would know it was you. When the lights come on and they saw you.
Yeah.
Right.
In me suit.
Right, that's about it. There's no profile this week because no Marcus.
We thought it'd be disrespectful to him.
He gets very precious over it as
Very proud of it. Yeah. And he's got the keys.
Well, happened was,
we wouldn't be able to let anyone in anyway.
No, absolutely. Well, exactly. They have to wait in a holding bay like Peter Olenwingi.
I'll tell you what, and what annoys me more than that, he's not only got the keys, he also keeps the fuses. So even if we knew where the keys were kept, he's got the fuses for the electricity.
Yeah.
And he's the only one who's allowed to turn them. Yeah,
very paranoid.
Well, Carson, longer term listeners will know that last time Marcus was off, I did an absolutely fantastic profile of Alexander Del Piero. Mm. Del Piero, and
so good, you're not doing one now.
Yeah, that, so good, it? I've been banned from doing them, and my mum said it was because I'm too good. But no, Marcus didn't like it, so we're not doing one this week, so that's about it. Marcus will be back soon, you'll be pleased to know.
Violent holiday.
Anyone else got any...
I've got a little pluggle.
Go on.
Do a little pluggle. I'm doing my full-length solo show at the Pleasance Theatre in Islington on the 20th and 21st of February, if you want to come down. So tickets are available at the website, which I believe is pleasance.co.uk. But if not, you can Google it, and I reckon you'll work it out. So do come along.
What annoys me, I had that very gig, because I saw it on Facebook, circled in my calendar, and then somebody's coming and give me some bloody work, so...
No.
Balls.
What a bad friend you are.
I don't want to come.
Fair enough. You've seen it.
I have seen it. That's about it. Don't forget, you can catch up with us online on Deminonets, thefootballramble.com. Our Twitter is @footballramble, and should you wish to get in touch with us, you can do so show at thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Marcus.
Oh, wow. Between us, we're like 94.
Yeah. And it's goodbye from me. Goodbye. Eyebrow.
Eyebrow.
We can profile an animal if you want.
Yeah, all right, let's do an animal now. What should go into the Dean Windass Zoo of Fame?
The tapir.
Tapir?
Because they've got prehensile penises, which is horrendous. You know that? It means they can grab things with it.
Oh.
It's horrible.
Oh, like an alien's mouth.
Tail. Yeah. Like a capuchin monkey's tail.
Yeah, but a penis.
Gibbons. Let's do Gibbons.
Not that one then.
Luke, you just got quiet sometimes.
I'm just looking up tapirs. They've got exceptionally long penises relative to their body size, apparently.
How big are elephants' penises?
Strangling you.
Because elephants are kind of like letting themselves down, aren't they? Because they're sort of... If they've got small penises, the trunks would be an unfair comparison.
They haven't got small penises, Pete.
Pete worked in a zoo, and he's quite fruity, so...
They let me sit on, so it's brilliant.
Over you on this one.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.